The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
We are back and we are once again all fully clothed as we continue on Get Up here on a very spirited Wednesday. We welcome you as we come to you live as always from above the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17. The crew is ready. We're talking football with you. Here we go. It is time to get up with the Bad News Browns. Waited 18 years and now this. We have the very latest, including a live report from Cleveland, coming up in this hour. Then this isn't going away. The Philly flop continues to echo within their own building. What will the fallout be when it's all said and done? And then Jerry Jones makes a startling admission about who really is in control of the Dallas Cowboys. All that and more as we get up with you, starting right now with this developing story from Cleveland. The Browns will be without head coach Kevin Stefanski in their wild card playoff matchup Sunday against the Steelers. Stefanski testing positive for COVID along with two other coaches and two players. The Browns released a statement yesterday that reads in part, "Our facility is currently closed while contact tracing is taking place. The team will continue to consult with the league and medical experts to determine the appropriate next steps as the health and safety of our players, coaches, staff, and the entire community remains our highest priority. Our contingency planning calls for special teams coordinator Mike Prefer to serve as the acting head coach." Okay, all well and good. So let's bring in our insider, Dan Graziano, who has been all over this and will be waiting, I think, anxiously for news this morning and every morning this week, right? That will be critical here to see if further tests come back. Explain to everyone why.
Right, because if further positive tests come back and there's concern that it's spreading throughout the facility, that they're transmitting it to each other, that's when you start to look at the possibility of, do we have to postpone this game? Is it safe for the Browns to gather as a team? That health and safety reasons throughout the regular season, the only reason they would postpone games, not competitive reasons, not just because a team is shorthanded at one position group or on the coaching staff. Those rules and those guidelines will continue now that it's the postseason. They will not postpone the game just because the Browns don't have their head coach. They would consider postponing it if they feel like it's not safe for the Browns to all be in the same room together.
I feel like through the course of this season, when I've had you on the set here, it was around this time of the morning that we would start getting results from testing in.
Yes.
From teams across the league.
Just checked in, actually, within the last 15 minutes and was told no news yet. But, yeah, I think there's an anticipation that sometime this morning we will find out what the results of yesterday's tests were in Cleveland.
Again, so that is critical. So, again, as of now, this game is on and scheduled to be played regardless of whether this creates a significant competitive disadvantage. Further positive tests would put it in jeopardy. In the meantime, Ryan Clark, and my heart kind of breaks for this. I'm a fan at heart, and the Cleveland fans, they waited all this time, and now this is what happens. How much of an impact on the game will this have, Stefanski not being there?
I think this is huge, Greeny. I believe when you look at the head coaches in this league right now, no head coach is more closely tied to his team's success and his quarterback success than Kevin Stefanski. Every time we get an opportunity to talk about the Cleveland Browns, I feel like we bring the head coach up first and the difference that he's made in Baker Mayfield's progression. And so now you enter the most important game in 18 years of your organization and you don't have that man, you don't have that guiding force, you don't have the dude that makes the decision in game that puts your quarterback in the best position for your team to win. I believe this is worth points. I believe this could be worth a touchdown to the Cleveland Browns. And heading into this game, not playing your best ball, not having opportunities to practice, be inside the building, and also missing your play caller, missing your leader, that's difficult. And this puts a ton of pressure on Baker Mayfield to even play above where he was at his best moments this season.
I think it's interesting the way you said that as well. Their leader and their play caller, because in this case, those are really two separate things. The head coach, Dominique,
yes,
is always the leader, but in this case, being the play caller might be more important.
Yeah, I mean, I think you can figure out ways to make those in-game decisions. Like, you can anticipate
just about every circumstance that's going to happen as far as going for two or kicking a field goal or punting the ball or maybe potentially going for it on fourth down. Those are things that you can anticipate the scenario and say, if we're in this situation, then let's do that. What you can anticipate is what your opponent is going to do and how you're going to adjust to that. And when you have a mind like Kevin Stefanski, who obviously is making these adjustments in game throughout the course of an entire season, when you are taking him off of the sideline, he's not going to be able to communicate with them at all and not be able to tell them what he sees or how they should adjust to it. That's something that you can't prepare for. You can run away from Batonio's side if you're not going to have an offensive lineman, but you can't substitute the science and the art that a play caller and a play designer brings to your sideline in game situations.
Yeah, you made that comparison earlier today that calling the plays and making in-game adjustments is more of an art than a science, and it's something
science, yeah,
that they will clearly miss as they go. Desmond, you're a Clevelander, and so I know you sort of understand the spirit of this, but let's talk about it from a football perspective. How do you think this impacts Baker Mayfield on the field Sunday night?
I think it impacts Baker Mayfield greatly because Kevin Stefanski is the guy who he keeps his thumb on the situation. He knows the pulse of his quarterback and the situation that he's going through throughout games, and he's a communicator. It's not just simply calling plays. He understands Baker Mayfield's temperament. He understands what Baker Mayfield may be seeing on the field, and he's that extra pair of eyes that can say, Baker, they're showing us this type of coverage on third down that we hadn't seen on film yet. This is what you need to do. You need someone like Kevin Stefanski who can settle your quarterback down, bring him back to the fray and help him understand what's going on in critical situations. Not just a guy who's going to look at a play sheet and start calling games. It's much more psychological with that when you're dealing with Baker Mayfield and Kevin Stefanski. That's going to be the biggest hurdle they're going to have to overcome. He's used to hearing Kevin Stefanski's voice being face-to-face, seeing him, talking to him, communicating with him, and then getting on the same page. He's not going to have that. That concerns me greatly, Greeny.
That is excellent insight. But Dominique and RC, I can't be the only one. And for those just joining us, if we can go back to that one shot on Desmond, that as you're talking, I cannot not see Crockett and Tubbs behind you. It has now become, I'm almost afraid we're going to have to ask you to move it because it has now become so distracting that I cannot stop looking at Crockett and Tubbs there behind you. Dominique, are you having the same problem?
I can't stop seeing Desmond's chest hair. Like I can't stop seeing that. The Crockett Tubbs thing is out of my mind. I have it burned into my mind. The peasy taco meat that we just looked at. Like I'll never forget that.
That's what matters.
I loved it, but I'll never forget it.
I'm sitting there. I'm the host. I'm trying so hard to focus. Yes, that's excellent insight. And all I can see is Don Johnson kneeling behind you, and it is a little bit distracting. Okay, let's leave it there for the moment. Let's go on the clock as we look ahead, because the Browns obviously have been at the center of so much of this conversation, but there are a lot of big games this weekend. So, Dominique, I'm going to start with you. What is one big thing you're watching for in any of the games on this Super Wild Card weekend? 30 seconds on the clock. Let's hear.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to watching what the Colts offensive line can do against the Bills. I think that the Colts have a great running back, and Jonathan Taylor has come on late in the season, and we'll see how he'll be able to get yards and potentially keep the ball away from Josh Allen and the Bills and maybe give the Colts a long shot, but give the Colts a chance to win if they can burn up a lot of clock and hold on to the possession of the ball and run through that Bills defense.
Jonathan Taylor has been unbelievable the last couple of weeks. He's actually listed as questionable right now as we look ahead to this game. RC, what's the one thing you have your eye the most closely on looking to all six of the games this weekend? 30 seconds.
Can the Washington football team's front line on defense put enough pressure on Tom Brady to give him a chance in this game? When they let the Predator Chase Young go, will Tom Brady be Bill Duke, who played Mac and was going to have him some fun and got hemmed up? Or will he be Arnold Schwarzenegger, who was Dutch and ended up taking the best or getting the best of the Predator? And my favorite Bill Duke character from Menace to Society, he said, you know you didn't messed up, don't you? Has Chase Young messed up? Has he poked the bear a little too much? And now we're going to see the best of Tom Brady, the best of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers on offense, and watch them really attack the Washington football defense.
Yeah, we showed it earlier. Chase Young ran off the field last weekend saying, we want Tom Brady. Now you want him. Now you're going to get him. All right, Desmond, 30 seconds. What's one thing you have your eye on this weekend?
Oh, man, I have to go back to my hometown team, the Cleveland Browns. I mean, you know, the fans have waited for this this moment for years and years. And, you know, we all thought that Baker Mayfield would be the guy to get us in the playoffs. They're going to be in the playoffs, but now they're going to be without Stefanski. I want to see if they'd be able to lean on that running game. I mean, the Browns got a very, very strong running game. Going up against this Pittsburgh Steelers team that's going to be excited. Don't forget, they sat a lot of starters the last time these two teams met. Mike Tomlin's going to have his game, his guys ready for this game. So I want to see how the Browns respond without Kevin Stefanski, if they're going to rely heavily on that running game.
All right, we're going to go live to Cleveland a little later in this hour to get the very latest. We wait for the testing results to come out of there. That will be critical as far as the game getting played. Meanwhile, also on the way, Josh Allen has been impressive this year, but Ryan Clark believes his arm is at another level. You will hear as RC explains his tweets. And then some Eagles players have been very outspoken about the moves Doug Peterson made in their final game. But are they directing their anger in the wrong direction? We'll answer that question and more as we get up with you on ESPN.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code PARLAY and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code PARLAY. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Back on Get Up, and Eagles running back Miles Sanders said yesterday that nobody on the team was in favor of the decision to pull quarterback Jalen Hurts in favor of Nate Sudfeld during a three-point game early in the fourth quarter against Washington on Sunday night. Here was what Sanders said.
Man, if I'm being honest, nobody liked the decision. Nobody. And that's all I could say, really. But I don't know who was the main person behind that decision, but all I know is a lot of people on the team was confused.
Okay, so let's get down to brass tacks here, Ryan Clark. One of the things that I think fans love about football is that almost no games are meaningless. You know, there are a lot of meaningless games in other sports, and one of the things about pro football is that generally the players don't treat even the meaningless ones like they're meaningless, and you gave a great example of that earlier this morning. Fire everybody up.
I wasn't necessarily trying to fire everybody up, Greeny, but I was just saying what it was, and it might have made me stupid. I remember going into one of the games at the end of the season. We were playing the Cleveland Browns. Both teams were out of the playoffs. I believe this was year 11 for me, and I remember I had a streak of 100 tackle years going, and I wanted to finish my career on that streak, and I think I was 9 tackles away from getting it. I believe I finished with 102 or something that year, but it was important to me to get to that milestone. It was important to me to play extremely hard to get there. And I was tweeting with Marcus Spears yesterday, and they were kind of talking about old players or former players forgetting what they felt about that last game. My deal was I wanted to hear my name called as much as possible in stadiums, because unlike a lot of people that was on the team with me, they got their names called on draft weekend. And so any opportunity I got to go out on the field, I was going to play hard. I was going to try to win. Now, I understand organizations see things different ways, but when your organization sees things those different ways, then tell us, communicate to us, let us know what our objective is this week. And I think another part, something I was thinking about, in my second to last game of my career, we played the Philadelphia Eagles. Obviously, I was playing for Washington at the time. We were terrible. We were not going to go to the playoffs. We had already been eliminated. I finished with 20 tackles that game. I think 18, 19, 20 tackles. I got all these calls from Pittsburgh. They stayed. It was a Saturday night. They stayed after dinner to watch me. And I just remember not thinking one time during that game that we were out of the playoffs. Not thinking one time during that game that it was meaningless. All I kept thinking was the fact that every time I got close to LeSean McCoy, his eyes got this big because he understood I didn't care about the schedule. I didn't care about the records. And that's how some people are. And for those people, what Doug Peterson did is unacceptable.
That's why Ryan Clark is a starter on my team. When I have a team, I'm starting RC. Dominique, your skepticism is putting you in serious jeopardy of not being on my team.
Yeah, that's fine. Ryan Clark is not normal. Like, the idea that other people are like that is insane. There is two or three players that I've played with in my entire career that I know are like that. And the thing about a guy like Ryan Clark is, the reason why this is interesting is the Sudfeld, putting Sudfeld in is annoying, but it don't matter. You just heard it. It don't matter what you do on the offensive side of the ball. It don't matter what you do with the other safety or linebackers. Ryan Clark is going to go out there and throw his body into people and try to get 20 tackles in his last game before retiring. So, like, that, I find that interesting. That ain't me. That ain't 90% of the league. And most of us at some point have been jaded and understand that it's a business. And I'm going out there like, man, this is my last game. You know what I'm not going to do? I'm not going to get me a concussion before I retire. I'm going
to pass up on all that. Bro, I went to the hospital after the Cleveland game.
Ryan put himself in the hospital.
This is the last game of the season. I slept in the hospital.
RC, I mean, Dominique, didn't you tell me that Ray Lewis would cry before games, meaningless games?
Oh, yeah. That's what I said. I played with two or three guys like that in my entire career. Ryan Clark is one of them dudes, and I agree. If I was if I owned a team, I would want Ryan Clark to be the safety on my team. As a father, I do not want my son or any of my daughters thinking like Ryan Clark. I don't want them going through life like, I don't give a bleep what happens to me or anybody else. I'm going to go barrel into this. But that's the difference between someone who owns an organization and someone who actually gives a dang about you. So, RC, I'm glad you're done playing football because I really love you and I really care about you, and I don't want you doing that no more.
Let me get Desmond in here. What do you think of this, Des? Which side of this you fall on?
Hey, man, this conversation is taking a crazy turn. I don't even know what these guys are talking about right now. All I can tell you is this. Greedy, listen. As long as I've been playing competitive football, the one thing I can tell you is this. If you're having a bad season, you still want to end on a good note. You want to end on a win. So I was really surprised. I'm watching the game with my daughter, Sydney, and I'm just trying to wrap my head around what's going on with Doug Peterson. Why is he making this call? The only other explanation that made sense was if this quarterback was going to hit an incentive by playing a certain amount of snaps, then I get that. But outside of helping the guy reach an incentive, I don't know why you make that call and you send your guys home with this bad taste in their mouth. This is one of the absolute worst ways to end a season.
I like that. And we'll leave it there on that thought. We'll continue in a moment on Get Up as we go. Coming up, a surprising concession by Jerry Jones yesterday. Why the owner of the Cowboys believes Dak Prescott is the man with all the power in Big D. We will do that, and we will do this. The Big D on this show is Dan Graziano going head-to-head with Sneaky Hembo. By winning percentage, which NFL franchise has the best home playoff record of all time? That's the question. The answer is next. This is Get Up on ESPN. People know my name, and they never gonna forget it.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
All right, we're back on Get Up, and Graziano, this one is tough. Which NFL franchise has the best home playoff record all time by winning percentage?
I mean, he's sneaky, right? So, like, I want to say the Packers, because I remember they had a long winning streak at home. I'm going to go with the Green Bay Packers.
No, this is it's almost an unfair question.
That's what I thought.
The answer is the Cardinals, who are 5-0. I want you to know, Dan, on your behalf, I told Hembo in the break, it's an unfair question. The next up is the Seahawks, then the Patriots, then the Lions, for crying out loud. The Lions haven't been in the playoffs since Lions. The Eisenhauer administration.
Playoff history.
And he's got them on the list. All right, coming up, we're gonna go live to Cleveland for the latest on the Browns and their struggles to reach their first playoff game in over 17 years. That's next.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Back on Get Up and back to our top story of the day, this developing story in Cleveland, where the Browns will be without their head coach Kevin Stefanski in their wild card playoff matchup Sunday night against the Steelers after Stefanski tested positive for COVID along with two other coaches and two players. And we are awaiting further news on any other developments that may come from there. So let's bring in our Browns reporter, Jake Trotter, who is live outside the facility. Jake, what is the very latest as the fans wait and see what form of the Browns will be available to play on Sunday night?
Yeah, Greeny, the latest is that the building, the practice facility behind me, remains closed as the team and the league continue to conduct contact tracing. I was told this morning that they are doing extra testing of potential high-risk close contacts. They're waiting for those results as well. And, you know, this is obviously a fluid situation, but it seems unlikely at this point that the building will be reopened today and that the Browns will be able to practice. So it could be Thursday at the earliest when the Browns could practice again.
Now, this is not something that is new to them. They went through an experience like this recently. So how did that work then, and how would we expect it to work this week if indeed they can't get back into the building and practice until tomorrow or the day after?
Yeah, I think the big difference between the past incidents they've had and this one is, you know, those were one-off positive tests, maybe two. This was five. And so the amount of contact tracing that is going into this situation is far greater than anything that they have encountered so far. And that's why it's so unknown, when they're going to be able to get back to work. I mean, you know, their entire offensive coaching staff is basically wiped out now. You got, you mentioned Kevin Stefanski, the head coach and offensive play caller, but they also have four offensive assistants as well. So it's just going to take some time for them to figure out where they go from here. And I can tell you that within the organization, they're bracing for the real possibility that there are going to be more positive tests that roll in as the week goes along.
And if that happens, obviously, then everything goes on the table, including the game potentially being in jeopardy, be played when it is. But we've spent a lot of time this morning, Jake, talking about the impact that the absence of Stefanski will have on the quarterback, Baker Mayfield. What can you tell us, and what, if anything, do we know about Baker's reaction to all this?
Yeah, we haven't spoken to Baker since this situation came about. You know, but I can tell you that within the team, you know, a message with the player yesterday, they're by no means throwing in the towel on Sunday night. They fully expect to still win. They have dealt with adversity like this all season with regards to COVID. You know, they had the shortened training camp, the virtual offseason with a new head coach, trying to install a new offense for Baker Mayfield. And, you know, they had their best season since coming back to the league in 1999. So this is a resilient team, and Baker is a resilient guy going back to when he was a two-time walk-on in college. So I think they'll rally around him, the guys that will be able to play Sunday night. And despite being very shorthanded, it looks like they're going to go to Pittsburgh thinking that they have a chance to win that game.
All right, Jake, well done. Thank you very much for this. Stay close by. If you hear anything further, please, by all means, let us know. Meanwhile, let me get some players back into this conversation. Dominique, we've talked a lot about the absence of Stefanski. Let's just talk about the building being closed. I mean, not being able to practice. They play a game on Sunday, and then they're not able to practice now, at least through today, and it could be through tomorrow. Just how much of an impact does that have on their ability to win?
So at this point in the season, many teams are comfortable with not having full padded or full speed practice, but you're at least going to have some walkthroughs. You're at least going to go through the situation. We all know how different people learn differently. Some people are fine with looking at an iPad or reading in a book, but some people do better. And I think for the most part in football, since you're going to be acting these things out, it feels a lot better to be on the field in that situation, to be Baker Mayfield and then see them show the blitz. And then you can file that away in your mind, to be one of the cornerbacks and see the formation that when you're anticipating them to take a shot. You see those things. So not being able to be out there and physically see them, have to look at them on the iPad, I do think impacts them a lot more than getting out there and running full speed and getting your timing and stuff right. By this point in the season, you normally have that stuff down. But getting those reps can't be accounted for in this situation.
I find myself thinking the Steelers were the team that I think felt that they had gotten the short end of this a few times over the course of the season because of COVID. Now they go into the playoffs, and their opponent is the team that is dramatically impacted. Dez, what do you think of all of this? You're a Clevelander, so this obviously, you know, hits close to home. What do you make of it all?
Yeah. I just can't believe that, you know, it's so many people who are affected by this as far as the coaches are concerned. Like you said, we've talked about Kevin Stefanski all morning, but now you're talking about maybe their whole offensive staff or just may not be available for this game. That's huge. I mean, it's almost like doing a TV show and you don't have your producer, you don't have your director, you don't have your stage manager. You got everyone else sitting there that stepped into these roles that they're not used to doing, and you have to make sure you go out there and play your part as best as you can. It's just so many moving parts that are affected by this COVID situation with the Browns that looks like it's going to be bleak. And don't forget, the flip side is, hey, the Steelers ain't taking no prisoners. Mike Tomlin, they're going out there to embarrass the Cleveland Browns at home. So they don't care about their problems. That's one of Mike Tomlin's best quotes. We got problems, and they're probably happy that we got problems. So it's not looking good for the Browns right now.
It is a terrible setup for a team that has waited so long. We'll see where it goes. More on this as we go. But right now, it's time for the tweets. It's time for Ryan Clark to explain his tweets.
Get in the gym, bro. Well, I just got buffalo chicken dip. Baker.
Bruh. Lord. As everyone laughs at the way I read your tweets. I can't even do it with a smile. All right, when I was off last week, I think this was the thing I missed the most. I will read some of Ryan Clark's extremely entertaining and enlightening Twitter messages, and then he will explain exactly what he meant. Here comes the first one. Here we go. Somehow, Deshaun Watson keeps these dudes in games. It's phenomenal to watch. Every week, his defense does its best to create insurmountable leads, and he makes it a game. He deals with the same hell and high water my auntie said she had to deal with walking to school every day. Ryan Clark, explain that tweet.
Bro, when I was growing up, my T. Sandra used to lie to me so much. I would listen to these stories about her walk to school, and that walk had hills in it. That walk had snow in it. I used to remind her, ain't you grow up in New Orleans? We ain't got no hills. We ain't got no snow. That's not happening. But that's exactly what Deshaun Watson deals with every single week. Man, you watch this dude and his team, and it's 4-12. J.J. Watt apologized to Deshaun Watson walking off the field. He said, I am sorry. I have wasted one of your years. That's how good this dude was playing. That's how hard he was. The fact that we got to see them miss snap a ball against the Colts, the fact we got to see Darius Leonard punch a ball out at the red zone, all of these things we have gotten to see that have been impressive and great moments to finish Houston Texans games, which they lost, by the way, are all because of Deshaun Watson. This team was absolutely terrible, and without this dude, they're not even in it. And he led the league in passing on a Bill O'Brien constructed team that would have picked third, but Bill O'Brien gave all the picks away. That's how good Deshaun Watson is.
I'm with you. He had the best season that no one will ever remember in the history of the NFL. All right, the second tweet is this.
Pretty simple.
Jonathan Taylor, it's short and sweet. Jonathan Taylor is abusing a lot of parents' oldest sons in Jacksonville right now. Ryan Clark, explain that tweet.
Listen, I'm going to tell a lot of middle kids and a lot of second sons a little story. You're not as important as the first son. You know why? You will never be named Junior. You know why is that? because the first son is named Junior. As careful, meticulous as your parents were with your older brother, made sure nothing happened to you, cleaned all the nipples, did all that stuff, they didn't do that with you because you don't matter as much. They are over that. Well, those were the guys that were on the field against Jonathan Taylor this week for the Jacksonville Jaguars, and he was running over folks. When he got to the secondary, it wasn't no stiff arms, it wasn't no moves, it was straight, I'm finna put this face mask on your face mask, and your mom is going to feel it. 253 yards, two tubs, 30 carries. But it's not just important for what it was with the Jacksonville Jaguars. It's about this week. If you want to play well against the Bills, you have to run the football. Well, this dude is about running the football, and he played in Wisconsin. So all that, oh, it's going to be cold out here, that don't matter to him. Oldest sons, you better strap your face mask and your helmets up because Jonathan Taylor's coming.
I am with you. He was phenomenal this past weekend. It's been very hot of late. All right, the third tweet is this, and this is the one I referenced Monday when you were here. Josh Allen's arm arrogance is at an all-time high today. His arm enters the stadium with a special outfit on. While most of Josh is dressed to beat the Buffalo chill, his right arm is styled by the same person that started styling Russ after he married Ciara. RC, explain that tweet.
Guess what? Russell Wilson came into this year saying he was Mr. Unlimited. Before he got with Ciara, his wardrobe was super limited. I don't know who was dressing dude. He's totally different now. Curly hair Russell Wilson, totally different dude than the dude before. That's what Josh Allen's arm is. The arrogance of his arm is almost sickening to me. I love it so much. He throws a deep ball on a sluggo this weekend against the Miami Dolphins, and he barely moves. He barely strains. And it's 55 yards on the line and drops right in the bucket. Josh Allen is playing on a different level right now. When Josh Allen comes into the stadium, there's somebody that opens his car door, and then they walk around the other side, and they grab his right arm in a protected box with security guards to make sure nobody touches it. That's where he is. You got a dude standing in front of my guy, don't care, I'm throwing it. You're double covering Stephon Diggs, don't care, I'm throwing it. It doesn't matter what the throw is. It doesn't matter what the defense is. Josh Allen feels like he can beat it. And so when his right arm walks into the stadium, it's the new Russell Wilson. It's the Russell Wilson that makes TikToks and dances and does all kind of cool stuff. It's Mr. Unlimited. It's not the dude that was drafted in the third round from Wisconsin who we didn't know could play. Josh Allen is on a different level right now, and his right arm is the main reason.
Arm arrogance, outstanding. Another virtuoso performance, Ryan Clark explaining his tweets. On to the next order of business, and that is a familiar friend. Been a long time since we've talked about the Dallas Cowboys, but it is now that time again where they can begin negotiating with quarterback Dak Prescott. After losing Dak to an ankle injury, Dallas won just 4 of 11 games. They finished 6-10. Yesterday, the owner and general manager, Jerry Jones, talked about the position Dak is in these talks.
I don't know how you could have any more leverage. His evolving into an NFL quarterback has been nothing short of a perfect pitcher. He has great ability in my mind to win games. And so he has all the things, as substantiated by what we've offered. You wouldn't be offering Dak what's been offered him in the past had you not thought he was very special. The issue is how do you come together, and that's no stranger to me. I've been doing it all my life. I got here putting things together. We've got to get it together.
Okay, so there's a lot to unpack in those comments. Before I get to the putting things together part for Dan Graziano, let's start with that look on Dominique's face. You are the sort of the representative on this show for Dak. And the guy who signs the checks just said you couldn't have more leverage. What is your reaction?
Man, we about to get paid. Hey, so I think that I think Dak Prescott, I mean, his value, I was concerned when he got hurt because I thought maybe Andy Dalton would come in and they'd be all right and people might say that it's not Dak and they would be wrong, but that's not what happened. As my man RC said, Andy Dalton came in there and he was turkey bacon. He wasn't the real thing. That offense was not nearly the same. They went to 30th in efficiency with Andy Dalton without Dak Prescott. So this team is bad. You saw Trevor Lawrence when after the semifinal game and someone said something about how his mustache was a little bit wispy. That is their offense without Dak Prescott. It is Dak mustache. But you add Dak Prescott, suddenly they become Steve Harvey's mustache. It is thick and full and outstanding. They are in dire need of Dak Prescott to come back and resuscitate the desiccated husk of a football team that they are without my man Dak Prescott. Give him all the money.
Okay, that's an excellent speech. I love the fact you began with we. You and Dak are going to get all the money.
Yeah,
I like that a lot.
Yeah,
so, Graziano.
Never met him, but we're best friends.
I've missed asking you this question, Dan, but I feel like I did it every day for about 2 years. Where do we stand in all of this, and how should we expect it to go? Jerry Jones says he's made his career out of putting things together. How does he put this together?
Yeah, right. The worst part about the rule that says you can't negotiate with a franchise player during the season is that we haven't been able to have this conversation since July, so I'm so glad it's back. Look, Dak Prescott, the Cowboys want to pay him. They tried to pay him. He has leverage. He had leverage last year, and that's the main reason the deal isn't done, because he held out to say, hey, unless I get the structure and the contract that I want, every single thing I want, I don't have to sign. I'm going to make $31 million on a franchise tag. That's fine with me. We can try this again next year, and that's where we are, and it's even better for him now because the franchise number is going to be even higher. And there is no reason for Dak Prescott to sign a contract before the franchise tender deadline unless he gets literally every single thing he wants from the Dallas Cowboys.
So, RC, I've got like 15 seconds. Give me the crystal ball. How does this wind up playing out this offseason?
Oh, Dak Prescott's going to be where the money resides. And that's on who? Mary had a little lamb. Dak Prescott's going to get his money. And he got more money or made more money in his absence than he did being present for this team at quarterback. Dak Prescott's going to be one of the top players, top paid players in this league, and he's going to be able to name his price and name his length this time, unlike the last negotiation.
All right, we'll leave it there, but it will be interesting to watch. Shefty said it's going to be the biggest story of the offseason. Meanwhile, coming up here, other big stories, including this. Several coaching positions open this offseason, but the most exciting may be the one with Justin Herbert. We'll get a unique perspective on that next. Get up on ESPN.
Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.
What a weekend this is going to be. Super wild card action on Saturday. Colts Bills is on CBS. Seahawks Rams on Fox. Tampa Tom and the Bucks visiting Washington on NBC primetime. Then Sunday, the triple header begins with our game, Ravens and Titans on ESPN and ABC. Then you got Bears and Saints, followed by the Browns and Steelers. Should be an absolutely sensational weekend of football, and we are all looking forward to it as we are looking forward to the next 10 minutes here on ESPN. This is Get Up. We're with you commercial free from then till now. I will be live coast to coast on ESPN Radio off the top of the hour. And here on ESPN TV, it'll be time for First Take. They're coming your way. Will Baker Mayfield have enough to lead the Browns to a playoff victory? And what will happen in Dallas now that Jerry Jones has acknowledged that Dak has leverage? That's on the way.
Red the top Radio of the hour. 9. Tell him here I come.
Look at me, handsome, fast, quick. Doesn't take much for me to, I'm modest, humble, you know. Doesn't take much for me to be confident.
It is the dopest open that we have on Get Up, and it is time for Dominique's unique perspective in which he shares some of his unique thoughts around the world of football. What do we have today, Dominique?
So now we have entered the season where we're looking for new head coaches. And we talked about earlier in the show that I believe the Chargers job might be the most attractive job out there, considering how much talent they have at the quarterback position and how much talent they have at receivers and on defense. And I think that we should be looking at Brian Daboll as the replacement out there, in part because of what he's been able to do with Josh Allen. It's not to take any credit from Josh Allen. He's gotten a lot better. But when you look at Justin Herbert, some of the skills that Justin Herbert has are the same sort of skills that we see out of Josh Allen, except Justin Herbert is a lot better as a rookie than Josh Allen was. So Herbert has a big arm, is more accurate, I think, than Josh Allen was, and also pretty athletic. And they have the receivers to implement a similar type of system out there and turn around quite quickly. This job is not a bad job. They won 7 games this season compared to the other teams whose jobs are open. It's 1, 2, 4, or 5 games. So they have plenty of talent. They'll be okay. And I think the answer to any question when you're looking, when you have a quarterback like this, it's what Dan Graziano taught us about what the Bengals should do. You have to do everything around protecting and improving that great quarterback talent that you have there. And I think Brian Daboll has shown that he's able to do the things that I think Justin Herbert would succeed doing going forward.
I want to push back on this a little bit, and I will tell you why. Obviously, I agree. The most important thing for the franchise is to develop the young quarterback. But we've seen a lot of space, and this is not meant to be in any way questioning Brian Daboll's ability to do this. But we've seen places where they brought in these offensive gurus solely because they were supposed to be quarterback whisperers, and you realize the job of head coach has a lot more going on than just that. So while I understand the idea here is to develop Justin Herbert, that's the most important thing they can do, do we know for certain that the person who is best suited to be his coach is the best suited to be the head coach of the entire team?
Right. Of course not. So I wrote an article about this 3 years ago. I agree wholeheartedly with you, but we don't know the answer to that question to anybody. The job of being a coordinator does not prepare you to be a coach. The job of being a coordinator is small. It's micro. The job of being a head coach is macro. So I'm not sure, but I do know that one thing that you want to focus on, and we saw with Stefanski, is you hope that they can learn and grow and bring other people in to help build that other stuff around them, because that other stuff, frankly, is more important. But if you're going to pick somebody based on the things that you do know are available, it's good to find someone who has experience working with the type of quarterback you have. It's not just being a like general quarterback whisperer. He has the skills, similar skills to Josh Allen, and Daboll's built an offense around that talent at receiver and that talent at quarterback, and they have all of that in LA right now.
I cannot disagree with what you're saying. I guess I'm still a little emotionally scarred from the words brilliant offensive mind. One way or another, that's our unique perspective today. Next, there's another quarterback situation we're keeping a close eye on. It is in Washington. Alex Smith, still nursing a strained calf. Coach Ron Rivera said they may turn to a unique solution, rotating their quarterbacks, meaning Smith would alternate with Taylor Heinicke. Here's Rivera with more.
Honestly, the thing that we have to be willing to do and we have to really think about is whether or not to rotate him in and out with Taylor. I mean, we have to definitely look at that. There's nothing you can do about it. I mean, that's the truth of the matter. We're going to play a very aggressive defense this week. And, you know, obviously it's something we most certainly have to look at.
That's fact. I will admit, when I heard that, the first thought I had is that sounds like something a coach says to put that thought in the mind of his opponent. Dan Graziano, what are you hearing?
Yeah, look, it's a real possibility. The problem they had, Alex Smith on Sunday night, they felt like his effectiveness wore down as the game went along because of that calf injury. So the question is, how can we keep him effective as long as possible in the game to the key part of the game where we might need him? And a possible answer is maybe mix in Taylor Heinicke in some series earlier in the game. I don't know that it's something that they're set on or that they're entirely sure is possible, but it's something they're looking into as a means of keeping Alex Smith more healthy throughout the game than he was Sunday.
RC, how big a deal is this to you?
I think it's a big deal, and I think it's a smart move by Ron Rivera to understand the place that his older quarterback is in. I mean, Alex Smith was at one point fighting for his life, and now coming back and being banged up a little bit, maybe Taylor Heinicke can provide a spark that Alex Smith can't necessarily provide. And so I think it's smart to look into this. It's smart to practice in this way. And whoever knew or heard about a coach being obvious and honest and transparent about what he's going to do with his quarterbacks on the weekend, that is a novel idea, especially in Philly. But when you look at Ron Rivera and the Washington football team, they know they have to play great defense, turn the football over, and do something offensively that provides a spark. And maybe Taylor Heinicke is that key.
Again, I like the joke, but I go back to my original thought, Dominique. This feels like something the coach may be doing to throw the opponent off the scent. What do you think?
Yeah, I think you're right. This is not something that you necessarily come out publicly with if it's something that you're planning on doing, but it seems obvious. I think that if I were preparing to play against them, I would be assuming that maybe he could get in, because the benefit of having Alex Smith normally is he doesn't turn the ball over. He's not going to make the big mistake. That hasn't been true of him. You can't have Alex Smith, the game manager, if he is turning the ball over. So I could understand why not go with a younger guy with less experience who might have more high-end performance or upside than Alex Smith if Alex Smith isn't even going to protect the ball for you. So Alex Smith has been a great story, but he hasn't been a great quarterback this season. He's been okay, and I could understand not feeling fully confident and just going into a game with him as your only option.
Okay, so we will finish up where we began with our top story today, the developing story in Cleveland, where we continue to wait and see if there are any further positive COVID tests that come from the Browns. We should be getting that news at some point soon. We do know they will be without their head coach, Kevin Stefanski, in their wild card playoff matchup Sunday against the Steelers after he tested positive for COVID, along with two other coaches and two players. We had Jake Trotter, who covers the Browns, on earlier saying it's not just the head coach. Basically, the entire offensive staff isn't going to be there. Is that the difference in the game? Desmond Howard, very quickly, is that the difference in the game? Stefanski not being there, in your view, does that decide Sunday night's game?
I tell you this. I think with Stefanski and there, the Browns win with the go. This is going to happen. I think the Browns are going to end up winning this game anyway.
Okay, fair enough. We lost a little bit of that, but I think we heard you say you think the Browns are going to win anyway. That might be a little bit of the hometown in you. Dominique, what do you think?
Yeah, I think that this game is decided by that factor. I think they would have lost before that game, but now I think with not just having Stefanski out, those other coaches who might have been the coaches that step up and take a bigger role, they're also out. I think it's tough to overcome all of this.
RC, is it the difference in the game in your mind?
It absolutely is. It's extremely difficult to play without those coaches, but think about the lack of practice that this team has had, the lack of continuity that this team has had, and you add on top of that not having your head coach, not having your play caller for Baker Mayfield in this offense. It seems insurmountable, a type of adversity and obstacles for the Cleveland Browns.
All right, let us finish then with what I think might very well have been my favorite moment of the year so far. And I don't just mean on the air. I mean, this may have been my favorite moment that I've experienced so far in 2021. And that was a little earlier, Desmond Howard, who's got the Miami Vice album behind him for inexplicable reasons, just gave us a little Miami Vice.
Man,
you know what?
That's good.
Pulled it off pretty well. Dominique, your thoughts?
That's good.
Oh, I mean, that's fantastic. I'm jealous. I'm going to go work out and put some Relaxo on my chest hair so I can match.
Did you plan the outfit? Did you plan the wardrobe? You actually have the outfit.
Oh, I didn't even realize that. It's fantastic.
It matches the photo perfectly. That's extraordinarily well coordinated. If that was done by someone, then that is brilliant producing. This was great fun. Thank you, everybody, for getting up with us. As always, I'll be coast to coast on ESPN Radio in 60 seconds. And First Take takes over the fun here on ESPN now.